her human form, Lysandra had drifted to the edge of the bank, back stiff as the Ilken gathered on the horizon. Aelin left the males to sort out their positions and slipped up beside her friend. "You don't have to fight. You can stay with Manon, guard the other direction." Indeed, Manon was already scaling one of the ruined walls, a quiver with unnervingly few arrows slung over her back beside Windcleaver. Adian had ordered her to scout the other direction for any nasty surprises. The witch had looked ready to debate, until she seemed to realize that, on this battlefield at least, she was not the apex predator. Lysandra loosely braided her black hair, her golden skin sallow. "I don't know how they have done this so many times. For centuries."
"Honestly, I don't know either," Aelin said,
glancing over a shoulder at the Fey males now analyzing the layout of the marshes, the flow of the wind, whatever else to use to their advantage. Lysandra rubbed at her face, then squared her shoulders. "The marsh beasts are easily enraged, like someone I know." Aelin jabbed the shifter with an elbow, and Lysandra snorted, even with the army ahead. "I can rile them up, threaten their nests, so that if the Ilken land..."
"They won't just have us to deal with."
Aelin gave her a grim smile. But Lysandra's skin was still pale, her breathing a bit shallow. Aelin threaded her fingers through the shifters and squeezed tightly. Lysandra squeezed back once before letting go to shift, murmuring,
"I'll signal when I'm done."
Aelin just nodded, lingering on the bank for a moment to watch the long-legged white bird flap across the marsh, toward that building darkness. She turned back to the others in time to see Rowan jerk his chin to Adian, Gavriel, and Fenris.
"You three, herd them to us."
"And you lot?"
Adian said, sizing up her, Rowan, and Dorian.
"I get the first shot," Aelin said, flames dancing in her eyes.
Rowan inclined his head.
"My lady wants the first shot. She gets the first shot. And when they're scattering in a blind panic, we come in."
Adian gave her a long look.
"Don't miss this time."
"Asshole," she snapped.
Adian's smile didn't reach his eyes as he strode to fetch extra weapons from their packs, grabbing a quiver of arrows in either hand, slinging one of the longbows across his broad back along with his shield. Manon had already stationed herself atop the wall behind them, grunting as she strung Adian's other bow. Rowan was saying to Dorian,
"Short bursts. Find your targets, the center of the groups, and use only what magic is necessary. Don't waste it all at once. Aim for the heads if you can."
"What about once they start landing?"
Dorian asked, sizing up the terrain. "Shield yourself. Attack when you can. Keep the wall to your back at all times."
"I won't be his prisoner again."
Aelin tried to shut out what he'd meant by it. But Manon said from the wall above them, an arrow now knocked loosely in her bow,
"If it comes to that, princeling, I'll kill you before they can."
Aelin hissed, "You will do no such thing." Both of them ignored her, as Dorian said,
"Thank you."
"None of you are being taken prisoner," Aelin growled, and walked away.
And there would be no second or third shots. Only the first shot. Only her shot. Perhaps it was time to see how deep that new well of power went. What lived inside it. Perhaps it was time for Morath to learn to scream. Aelin stepped up to the water's edge, then leaped onto the next island of grass and stone. Rowan silently came up beside her,
meeting her pace for pace. It wasn't until they reached the next hill that he angled his face toward her. His golden skin stretched taut, his eyes as cold as her own. Only that anger was directed at her, perhaps more livid than she'd seen him since Mistward. She bared her teeth in a feral, grim smile.
I know, I know. Just add suggesting to use the word key to that tally of all the horrible things I do and say.
Leathery, massive wings beat the air, and shrieking cries at last began to trickle toward them. Her knees quaked, but she clamped down on the fear, knowing he could scent it, knowing the others could, too. So she willed herself to take another step onto the sodden, reed-laden plain, toward that Ilken army. They'd be upon them in minutes. Less, maybe. And a horrible, miserable Lorkin had bought them that extra time. Wherever the bastard was. Rowan didn't object as she took another step. Then another. She had to put distance between them all. Had to make sure that every last ember was capable of reaching that army, and that she didn't waste her strength by traveling far to do so. Which meant striding out into the marshes alone, to wait for those things to be close enough to see their teeth. They had to know who marched through the reeds toward them, what she'd do to them. But still the Ilken charged. In the distance, far to the right, marsh creatures began to roar, no doubt in Lysandra's wake. She prayed the beasts were hungry, and that they didn't mind Morath bread meat.
Aelin.
Rowan's voice cut across water and plant and wind. She paused, looking over a shoulder at where he now stood on the sandbank, as if it had been impossible not to follow her. The strong, unyielding bones of his face were set with that warrior's brutality. But his pine-green eyes were bright, almost soft, as he said.
Remember who you are. Every step of the way down, and every step of the way back. Remember who you are. And that you're mine.
She thought of the new, delicate scars on his back. Marks from her own nails that he'd refused to heal with his magic, and instead had set with seawater, the salt locking the scars into place before the immortal body could smooth it over. Her claiming marks he'd breathed into her mouth the last time he'd been inside her. So he and anyone who saw them would know that he belonged to her, that he was hers, just as she was his. And because he was hers, because they were all hers. Aelin turned away from him and sprinted across the plain. With every step toward the army whose wings she could just make out, she watched for those beasts Lysandra riled, even as she began a swift, deadly descent into the core of her magic. She had been hovering around the middle ledge of her power for days now, one eye on the churning, molten abyss far below. Rowan knew. Fenris and Gavriel, definitely. Shielding them, drying their clothes, killing the insects that plagued them. All little ways to relieve the strain, to keep herself steady, to grow accustomed to its depth and pressure. For the deeper she went into her power, the more her body, her mind, squeezed under the pressure of it. That was the burnout, when that pressure won. When the magic was drained too fast or too greedily, when it was spent, and still the bearer tried to claw deeper than it should. Aelin slammed to a stop in the heart of the plain. The Ilken had spied her sprinting, and now flapped toward her. Unaware of the three males who crept far out, bows at the ready to push Erewhon's soldiers onto her flames, if she could burn through their defenses. She'd have to drag up every bit of her power to incinerate them all. The true might of Aelin Firebringer. Not an ember less. So Aelin abandoned every trapping of civilization, of conscience, and rules, and humanity, and plummeted into her fire.
She flew for that flaming abyss, only distantly aware of the humidity lying thick on her skin, of the pressure building in her head. She'd shoot straight down and push off the bottom, bringing all that power with her to the surface. The drag would be enormous, and it would be the test, the true test of control and strength. Easy. So easy to spear into the heart of fire and ash. The hard part was bringing it up. That was when the cracking would occur. Deeper and deeper Aelin shot into her power. Through distant mortal eyes, she noted the Ilken sweeping closer. A mercy. If they had once been human, perhaps obliterating them would be a mercy. Aelin knew she'd reached the former edge of her power thanks to warning bells in her blood that pealed in her wake. That pealed as she launched herself into the burning depths of hell. The queen of flame and shadow, the heir of fire, Aelin of the wildfire, Fireheart. She burned through each title, even as she became them, became what those foreign ambassadors had hissed when they reported on a child queen's growing unstable power in Terrasen. A promise that had been whispered into the blackness. The pressure began to build in her head, in her veins. Far behind, safely out of her range, she felt the flickers of Rowan's and Dorian's magic as they rallied the blasts that would answer her own. Aelin soared into the uncharted core of her power. The inferno went on and on. Chapter 56. Lorcan knew they were still too slow, warning signal or not. Eleid was gasping for breath, weaving on her feet as Lorcan halted on the outskirts of a massive flooded plain. She pushed back a stray strand of hair from her face, Athril's ring glinting on her finger. She hadn't questioned where it had come from or what it did when he'd slipped it onto her finger this morning. He'd only warned her to never take it off, that it might be the one thing to keep her safe from the Ilken, from Morath. The force had swept northward, and away from where Lorcan and Eleid had hauled ass, no doubt to secure some better approach. And at the far end of the plain, too distant for Elide's human eyes to clearly make out, Whitethorn's silver hair glinted, the King of Otterlin at his side. Magic. Bright and cold swirling around them. And farther out. Gods above. Gavriel and Fenris were in the reeds, bows drawn, and Gavriel's son, aimed at the army approaching, waiting for... Lorcan tracked where they were all facing. Not the army closing in on them, but the queen standing alone in the heart of the flooded plain. Lorcan realized a moment too late that he and Eleid were on the wrong side of the demarcation line, too far north of where Aelin's companions stood safely behind her. Realized it, the exact heartbeat that Eleid's eyes fell on the golden-haired woman facing that army. Her arms slackened at her sides, her face drained of color. Eleid staggered one step toward Aelin. A small noise coming out of her. That's when he felt it. Lorcan had sensed it once before, that day at Mistward, when the Queen of Terrasen had laid waste to the Volg princes, when her power had been a behemoth surging from the deep, setting the world trembling. That was nothing. Nothing compared to the power that now roared into the world. Eleid stumbled, gaping at the spongy earth as the marsh water rippled. 500 Ilken closed in around them. They had taken his warning and set a trap. And that power. That power Aelin was now dragging up from whatever hellhole was inside her, from whatever fiery pit she'd been damned to endure. Its wake would wash over them.
What is...
Eleid breathed. But Lorcan lunged for her, hurling them to the ground, covering her body with his. He threw a shield over them, plummeting hard and fast into his magic, the drop nearly uncontrolled. He didn't have time to do anything but pour every ounce of power into his shield, into the one barrier that would keep them from being melted into nothing. He shouldn't have wasted the effort warning them, not when it was now likely to get him and Elide killed. Whitethorn knew, even at Mistward, that the Queen hadn't yet stepped into her birthright, knew that this sort of power came around once in an eon, and to serve it, to serve her. A court that wouldn't just change the world. It would start the world over. A court that could conquer this world, and any other it wished. If it wished. If that woman on the plane desired to. And that was the question, wasn't it?
Lorcan?
Elide whispered, her voice breaking, in longing for the queen or terror of her, he didn't know. Didn't have time to guess, as a feral roar went up from the reeds. A command. And then a hail of arrows, precisely and brutally aimed, flew from the marshes to strike at the outer flanks of the Ilken. He marked Fenris's shots by the black-tipped arrows that easily found their marks. Gabriel's son didn't miss either. Ilken tumbled from the sky, and the others panicked, flapping into one another, careening inward. Right to where the Queen of Terrasen unleashed the full force of her magic upon them. The moment Lysandra roared to signal that the marsh beasts were riled, and she was safely behind their lines again, the moment the Ilken got so close Adian could shoot them out of the sky like geese, his queen erupted. Even with Aelin's aim away from them, even with Rowan's shield, the heat of that fire burned. "Holy gods," Adian found himself saying, as he stumbled back through the reeds, falling farther behind her line of attack. Holy rutting gods. The heart of the Legion didn't have the chance to scream, as they were washed away in a sea of flame. Aelin was no savior to rally behind, but a cataclysm to be weathered. The fire grew hotter, his bones groaning as sweat beaded on his brow. But Adian took up a new spot, glancing to ensure his father and Fenris had done the same across the drowned plain, and aimed for the Ilken veering out of the flames' path. He made his arrows count. Ashes fell to the earth in a slow, steady snow. Not fast enough, as if sensing Aelin's dragging pace, ice and wind erupted overhead. Where golden red flame did not meet Erewhon's legion, Dorian and Rowan ripped them apart. The Ilken still held out, as if they were a stain of darkness, harder to wash away. Still, Aelin kept burning. Adian couldn't even see her in the heart of that power. There was a cost. There had to be a cost to such power. She had been born knowing the weight of her crown, her magic, had felt its isolation long before she'd reached adolescence. And that seemed like punishment enough, but there had to be a price. Nameless is my price. That was what the witch had said. Understanding glimmered at the edge of Adian's mind, just out of grasp. He fired his second-to-last arrow, straight between the eyes of a frantic Ilken. One by one, their own foul-bred resistance to magic yielded to those bursts of ice and wind and flame. And then Whitethorn began walking into the firestorm 50 feet ahead. Toward Aelin. Lorcan pinned Elide to the earth, throwing every last shadow and pocket of darkness into that shield. The flames were so hot that sweat dripped down his brow, right into her silken hair, spread on the green moss. The marsh water around them boiled. Boiled. Fish floated belly up. The grasses dried out and caught fire. The entire world was a hell realm, with no end and no beginning. Lorcan's shredded dark soul tipped its head back and roared in unison to her power's burning song. Elite was cringing, fists balled in his shirt, face buried against his neck as he gritted his teeth and weathered the firestorm. Not just fire, he realized, but wind and ice. Two other mighty magics had joined her, shredding the Ilken and his own shield. Wave after wave, the magic battered his power. A lesser gift might have been broken against it. A lesser magic might have tried to fight back, and not just let the power wash over them. If Erewhon got a collar around Aelin Galathinius's neck, it would be over. To leash that woman, that power, would a collar even be able to contain that? There was movement through the flames. Whitethorn was prowling across the boiling marshes, his steps unhurried. The flames swirled around the dome of Rowan's shield, eddying with his icy wind. Only a male who'd lost his damn mind would wander into that storm. The Ilken died and died and died, slowly and not at all cleanly, as their dark magic failed them. Those that tried to flee the flame or ice or wind were felled by arrows. Those that managed to land were shredded apart by ambushes of claws and fangs and snapping scaled tails. They'd made every minute of his warning count, had easily set a trap for the Ilken. That they'd fallen for it so swiftly. But Rowan reached the queen in the heart of the marshes as her flames winked out, as his own wind died out, and plumes of unforgiving ice shattered the few Ilken flapping in the skies. Ash and glittering ice rained down, thick and swirling as snow, embers dancing between the clumps that had once been the Ilken. There were no survivors. Not one. Lorcan didn't dare lift his shield. Not as the prince stepped onto the small island where the queen was standing. Not as Aelin turned toward Rowan, and the only flame that remained was a crown of fire atop her head. Lorcan watched in silence as Rowan slid a hand over her wrist, the other cupping the side of her face, and kissed his queen. Embers stirred her unbound hair as she wrapped her arms around his neck and pressed close. A golden crown of flame flickered to life atop Rowan's head, the twin to the one Lorcan had seen burning that day at Mistward. He knew Whitethorn. He knew the prince wasn't ambitious, not in the way that immortals could be. He likely would have loved the woman if she'd been ordinary. But this power. In his wasteland of a soul, Lorcan felt that tug. Hated it. It was why Whitethorn had strode to her, why Fenris was now halfway across the plain, dazed, attention wholly fixed on where they stood, tangled in each other. Elid stirred beneath him.
Is it over?
Given the heat with which the queen was kissing her prince, he wasn't entirely sure what to tell Elid. But he let her squirm out from beneath him, twisting to her feet to spy the two figures on the horizon. He rose, watching with her.
They killed them all,
she breathed. An entire legion, gone. Not easily, but they'd done it. Ash continued to fall, clumping on Elide's silky night-dark hair. He gently picked out a bit, then put a shield over her to keep it from landing on her again. He hadn't touched her since last night. There hadn't been time, and he hadn't wanted to think about what her kiss had done to him. How it had utterly wrecked him and still twisted up his guts in ways he wasn't sure he could live with. Elide said,
"What do we do now?"
It took him a moment to realize what she'd meant. Aelin and Rowan at last pulled apart, though the prince leaned in to nuzzle her neck. Power called to power among the Fae. Perhaps Aelin Galathinius was unlucky the cadre had been drawn to Maeve's power long before she was born, had chained themselves to her instead. Perhaps they were the unlucky ones, for not holding out for something better. Lorcan shook his head to clear the useless, traitorous thoughts. That was Aelin Galathinius standing there, drained of her power. He felt it now. The utter lack of sound or feeling or heat, where there had been such a riotous storm moments before. A creeping cold. She'd emptied her entire cache. They all had. Maybe Whitethorn had gone to her, put his arms around her, not because he wanted to mount her in the middle of the marshes, but to keep her upright once that power was gone. Once she was left vulnerable. Open to attack. What do we do now? Aelid had asked. Lorcan smiled slightly.
We go say hello.
She balked at the shift in his tone.
You're not on friendly terms.
Certainly not, and he wasn't about to be, not when the queen was within his sights. Not when she had that word key, the sibling to the one Aelid carried.
They won't attack me,
he said, and began heading for them. The marsh water was near scalding, and he grimaced at the fish floating, milky eyes open wide to the sky. Frogs and other beasts bobbed among them, wobbling in his ripples. Aelid hissed at entering the hot water, but followed after him. Slowly, Lorcan closed in on his prey. Too focused on the fire-breathing bitch to notice that Fenris and Gavriel had vanished from their positions in the reeds. Chapter 57. Every step toward Aelin was an eternity, and every step was somehow too swift. Aelid had never been more aware of her limp, of her dirty clothes, of her long, unshaped hair, of her small body and lack of any discernible gifts. She had imagined Aelin's power, dreamed of how it had shattered the glass castle. She hadn't considered that the reality of seeing it unleashed would make her bones quail in terror, or that the others would possess such harrowing gifts as well, ice and wind twining with fire, until only death rained down. She almost felt bad for the Ilken they'd slaughtered. Almost. Lorcan was silent. Tense. She was able to read his moods now, the little tells that he believed no one could detect. But there, that faint twitch on the left side of his mouth. That was his attempt to suppress whatever rage was now riding him. And there, that slight angle of his head to the right. That was his assessing and reassessing every surrounding, every weapon and obstacle within sight. Whatever this meeting was, Lorcan didn't think it would go well. He expected to fight. But Aelin, had now turned toward them from where she stood on that mound of grass. Her silver-haired prince pivoted with her, took a casual step in front of her. Aelin sidestepped around him. He tried to block her again. She nudged him with an elbow and held her ground at his side. The Prince of Dorinel, her queen's lover. How much sway would his opinion hold over Aelin? If he hated Lorcan, would his contempt and mistrust for her as well be immediate? She should have thought of it, how it looked to be with Lorcan. Approach with Lorcan.
Regretting your choice in allies, Lorcan said with cutting calm, like he'd been able to read her tells too.
It sends a message, doesn't it?
She could have sworn something like hurt flashed in his eyes, but it was typical Lorcan, even when she'd ripped into him atop that barge he'd barely flinched. He said coolly,
It would seem our bargain with each other is about to end anyway. I'll be sure to explain the terms, don't worry. I'd hate for them to think you were slumming it with me.
That's not what I meant.
He snorted. I don't care.
Elite halted, wanting to call him a liar, half because she knew he was lying, and half because her own chest tightened at the words. But she kept silent, letting him walk ahead, that distance between them yawning wider with his every storming step. But what would she even say to Aelin?
Hello, how do you do? Please don't burn me. Sorry I'm so filthy and lamed.
A gentle hand touched her shoulder.
Pay attention. Look around.
Elie glanced up from where she'd been wincing at her dirty clothes. Lorcan was perhaps 20 feet ahead, the others mere figures near the horizon. The invisible hand on her shoulder squeezed.
Observe. See.
See what? Ash and ice range to the right, ruins rose up on the left, nothing but open marshes spreading ahead. But Elide halted, scanning the world around her.
Something was wrong.
Something made any creatures that had survived the maelstrom of magic go silent again. The burnt grasses rustled inside. Lorcan kept walking, his back stiff, though he hadn't reached for his weapons.
See. See. See.
See what?
She turned in place but found nothing. She opened her mouth to call to Lorcan. Golden eyes flickered in the brush not 30 paces ahead. Enormous golden eyes, fixed on Lorcan as he strode mere feet away. A mountain lion, ready to pounce, to shred flesh and sever bone.
No!
The beast exploded from the burnt grasses. Elide screamed Lorcan's name. He whirled, but not to the lion. Toward her, that furious face shooting toward her. But she was running, legs shrieking in pain, as Lorcan finally sensed the attack about to swoop down on him. The mountain lion reached him, those thick claws going low while its teeth went right for his throat. Lorcan drew his hunting knife, so fast it was only the glint of gray light on steel. Beast and fey male went down, right into the muddy water. Elide hurtled for him, a wordless scream breaking from her. Not a normal mountain lion. Not even close. Not with the way it knew Lorcan's every move as they rolled through the water, as they dodged and swiped and lunged, blood spurting, magic clashing, shield against shield. Then the wolf attacked. A massive white wolf, sprinting out of nowhere, wild with rage and all of it focused on Lorcan. Lorcan broke from the lion, blood streaming down his arm, his leg, panting. But the wolf had vanished into nothing. Where was it? Where was it? It appeared out of thin air, as if it had stepped through an invisible bridge 10 feet from Lorcan. Not an attack. An execution. Elite cleared a gap between two mounds of land, icy grass slicing into her palms, something crunching in her leg. The wolf leaped for Lorcan's vulnerable back, eyes glazed with bloodlust, teeth shining. Elide surged up the little hill, time spinning out beneath her.
No, 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 no!
Vicious white fangs neared Lorcan's spine. Lorcan heard her then, heard the shuddering sob as she threw herself into him. His dark eyes flared in what looked like terror as she slammed into his unprotected back. As he noted the death blow not coming from the lion at his front, but the wolf, whose jaws closed around her arm instead of Lorcan's neck. She could have sworn the wolf's eyes flared in horror as it tried to pull back the physical blow, as a dark, hard shield slammed into her, stealing her breath with its unflinching solidity. Blood and pain and bone and grass and bellowing fury. The world tilted as she and Lorcan went down, her body thrown over his, the wolf's jaws wrenching out of her arm. She curled over Lorcan, waiting for the wolf and mountain lion to end it, to take her neck in their jaws and crunch down. No attack came. Silence cleaved the world. Lorcan flipped her over, his breathing ragged, his face bloody and pale as he took in her face, her arm.
Elide, Elide, Elide!
She couldn't draw breath. Couldn't see around the sensation that her arm was mere shredded flesh and splintered bone. Lorcan grabbed her face before she could look, and snapped,
"Why did you do that? Why?"
He didn't wait for an answer. He lifted his head, his snarl so vicious it echoed in her bones, made the pain in her arm surge violently enough that she whimpered. He growled to the lion and the wolf, his shield a swirling obsidian wind around them.
"You're dead. You're both dead."
Elide shifted her head enough to see the white wolf staring at them. At Lorcan. See the wolf change in a flash of light into the most beautiful man she'd ever beheld. His golden brown face tightened as he took in her arm. Her arm. Her arm.
"Lorcan, we were ordered,"
said an unfamiliar, gentle male voice, from where the lion, too, had transformed into a fey male.
"Damn your orders to hell, you stupid bastard!"
the wolf warrior hissed, chest heaving.
"We can't fight against the command much longer, Lorcan." "Put the shield down,"
the calmer one said.
"I can heal the girl. Let her get away." "I'll kill you both,"
Lorcan swore.
"I'll kill you."
Elide looked at her arm. There was a piece missing from her forearm. There was blood gushing into the burnt remnants of grass, white bone jutting out. Maybe she started screaming, or sobbing, or silently shaking.
"Don't look,"
Lorcan snapped, squeezing her face again to draw her eyes to his own. His face was lined with such wrath she barely recognized it, but he made no move against the males. His power was drained. He'd nearly wiped it out, shielding against Aelin's flame, and whoever had borne that other magic on the field. This shield. This was all Lorcan had left. And if he lowered it so they could heal her, they'd kill him. He had warned them of the attack. And they'd still kill him. Aelin. Where was Aelin? The world was blackening at the edges, her body begging to submit, rather than endure the pain that reordered everything in her life. Lorcan tensed as if sensing the oblivion that threatened.
"You heal her,"
he said to the gentle-eyed male.
"And then we continue."
"No,"
she got out. "Not for this. Not for her." Lorcan's onyx eyes were unreadable as he scanned her face. And then he said quietly,
"I wanted to go to Paranth with you."
Lorcan dropped the shield. It was not a hard choice, and it did not frighten him. Not nearly as much as the fatal wound in her arm did. Fenris had hit an artery. She'd bleed out in minutes. Lorcan had been born from and gifted with darkness. Returning to it was not a difficult task. But letting that glimmering, lovely light before him die out, in his ancient, bitter bones, he could not accept it. She had been forgotten by everyone and everything, and still she had hoped, and still she had been kind to him, and still she had offered him a glimpse of peace in the time he'd known her. She had offered him a home. He knew Fenris wouldn't be able to fight Maeve's kill order. Knew Gavriel would stay true to his word and heal her, but Fenris couldn't hold out against the Blood Oath's command. He knew the bastard would regret it. Knew the wolf had been horrified the moment Elide had jumped between them. Lorcan let go of his shield, praying she wouldn't watch when the bloodletting started, when he and Fenris went claw to claw and fang to fang. He'd last against the warrior, until Gavriel joined back in. The shield vanished, and Gavriel was instantly kneeling, reaching with his broad hands for her arm. Pain paralyzed her, but she tried telling Lorkin to run, to put the shield back up. Lorkin stood, shutting out her pleading. He faced Fenris. The warrior was trembling with restraint, his hands clenched at his sides to keep from going for any of his blades. Elide was still sobbing, still begging him. Fenris's taut features were lined with regret. Lorkin just smiled at the warrior. It snapped Fenris's leash. His sentinel leaped for him, sword out, and Lorkin lifted his own, already knowing the move Fenris planned to use. He'd trained him how to do it, and he knew the guard Fenris let drop on his left side, just for a heartbeat, exposing his neck. Fenris landed before him, swiping low and dodging right. Lorkin angled his blade for that vulnerable neck. They were both blown back by an icy, unbreakable wind, whatever was left of it after the battle. Fenris was up, lost to the blood fury, but the wind slammed into him, again, again, holding him down. Lorkin struggled against it, but the shield Whitethorn had thrown over them, the raw power he now used to keep them pinned, was too strong when his own magic was depleted. Boots crunched on the burnt grass. Sprawled on the bank of a little hill, Lorkin lifted his head. Whitethorn stood between him and Fenris, the prince's eyes glazed with wrath. Rowan surveyed Gavriel and Elide, the latter still weeping, still begging for it to stop. But her arm. A scratch marred that moon-white arm, but Gabriel's rough battlefield healing had filled the holes, the missing flesh and broken bones. He must have used all his magic to... Gabriel swayed ever so slightly. Whitethorn's voice was like gravel.
This ends now.
You two don't touch them. They're under the protection of Aelin Galathinius. If you harm them, it will be considered an act of war. Specific ancient words. The only way a blood order could be detained. Not overridden, just delayed for a little while. To buy them all time. Fenris panted, but relief flickered in his eyes. Gabriel sagged a bit. Elide's dark eyes were still glassy with pain, the smattering of freckles on her cheeks stark against the unnatural whiteness of her skin. Whitethorn said to Fenris and Gavriel,
"Are we clear on what the hell will happen if you step out of line?"
To Lorkin's eternal shock, they lowered their heads and said,
"Yes, Prince."
Rowan let the shields drop, and then Lorkin was hurtling to Elide, who struggled to sit up, gaping at her nearly healed arm. Gavriel, wisely, backed away. Lorkin examined her arm, her face, needing to touch her, smell her. He didn't notice that the light footsteps in the grass didn't belong to his former companions. But he knew the female voice that said from behind him,
"What the rutting hell is going on?"
Elide had no words to express to Lorkin what she'd felt. In that moment, he let the shield drop. What she'd felt when the silver-haired, tattooed warrior prince had halted that fatal bloodshed. But she had no breath in her body when she looked over Lorkin's broad shoulder and beheld the golden-haired woman striding toward them. Young. And yet her face. It was an ancient face, wary and cunning and limbed with power. Beautiful with the sun-kissed skin, the vibrant turquoise eyes. Turquoise eyes, with a core of gold around the pupil. Ash River eyes. The same as the golden-haired handsome man who came up beside her, muscled body tense, as he assessed whether he'd need to spill blood, a bow dangling from his hand. Two sides of the same golden coin. Aelin. Adian. They were both staring at her with those Ash River eyes. Aelin blinked, and her golden face crumpled as she said,
"Are you Elide?"
It was all Elide could do to nod. Lorkin was taut as a bowstring, his body still half-angled over her. Aelin strode closer, eyes never leaving Elide's face.
Young.
She felt so young compared to the woman who approached. There were scars all over Aelin's hands, along her neck, around her wrists, where shackles had been. Aelin slid to her knees not a foot away, and it occurred to Elide that she should be bowing, head to the dirt.
"You look so much like your mother,"
Aelin said, her voice cracking. Adian silently knelt, putting a broad hand on Aelin's shoulder. Her mother, who had gone down swinging, who had died fighting so this woman could live.
"I'm sorry,"
Aelin said, shoulders curving inward, head dropping low as tears slid down her flushed cheeks.
"I'm so sorry."
How many years had those words been locked up? Elide's arm ached, but it didn't stop her from touching Aelin's hand, clenched in her lap. Touching that tanned, scarred hand. Warm, sticky skin met her fingertips.
Real. This was... Aelin was... real.
As if Aelin realized the same, her head lifted. She opened her mouth, but her lips wobbled, and the queen clamped them together. None of the gathered company spoke. And at last Aelin said to Elide,
"She bought me time."
Elide knew who the queen meant. Aelin's hand began shaking. The queen's voice broke entirely as she said,
"I am alive today because of your mother."
Elide only whispered,
"I know. She told me to tell you."
A shuddering inhale. But Aelin didn't break her stare, even as tears continued cutting through the dirt on her cheeks.
"Your mother told me to tell you that she loves you very much. Those were her last words to me. Tell my Elide I love her very much."
For over 10 years, Aelin had been the sole bearer of those final words. 10 years through death and despair and war, Aelin had carried them across kingdoms. And here, at the edge of the world, they had found each other again. Here at the edge of the world, just for a heartbeat, Elide felt the warm hand of her mother brush her shoulder. Tears stung Elide's eyes as they slipped free. But then the grass crunched behind them. She saw the white hair first, then the golden eyes. And Elide sobbed as Manon Blackbeak emerged, smiling faintly. As Manon Blackbeak saw her and Aelin, knee to knee in the grass, and mouthed one word. Hope. Not dead. None of them were dead. Adian said hoarsely,
"Is your arm?"
Aelin grabbed it, gently, inspecting the shallow cut, the new pink skin that revealed what had been missing mere moments before. Aelin twisted on her knees, snarling at the wolf warrior. The golden-haired male averted his eyes as the queen glared her displeasure.
"It wasn't his fault,"
Elide managed to say. "The bite," Aelin said dryly, turquoise eyes livid, "would suggest otherwise."
"I'm sorry,"
the male said. Either to the queen or Elide, she didn't know. His eyes lifted to Aelin, something like devastation there. Aelin ignored the words. The male flinched, and the silver-haired prince seemed to give him a brief, pitying glance. But if the order hadn't come from Aelin to kill Lorkin... Aelin said to the other golden-haired male behind Elide, the one who had healed her, The lion. I assume Rowan told you the deal. You touch them, you die. You so much as breathe wrong in their direction, and you're dead. Elie tried not to cringe at the viciousness. Especially when Manon smiled in wicked delight. Aelin tensed, as the witch came at her exposed back, but allowed Manon to settle on her right. To look over Elie with those gold eyes. Well met, witchling, Manon said to her. Manon faced Lorcan just as Aelin did. Aelin snorted. You look a bit worse for wear.
Likewise,
Lorcan snapped at her. Aelin's grin was terrifying. Got my note, did you? Adian's hand slid to his sword.
The Sword of Orinth,
Elide blurted, noticing the bone pommel, the ancient markings. Aelin and Lorcan paused being at each other's throats.
The sword. You...
Vernon had mocked her about it once. Said it had been taken by the King of Otterlin and melted down. Burned along with the antler throne. Adian's turquoise eyes softened.
It survived. We survived.
The three of them. The remnants of their court. Their families. But Aelin was again sizing up Lorcan, bristling. That wicked grin returning. Elide said softly,
I survived, Majesty, because of him.
She pointed with her chin to Manon.
And because of her. I am here because of both of them.
Manon nodded, focus going to the pocket where she'd seen Elide hide that scrap of stone. The confirmation she'd been looking for. The reminder of the third part of the triangle.
I'm here,
Elide said, as Aelin fixed those unnervingly vivid eyes on her.
Because of Caltaine Rompier.
Her throat clogged, but she pushed past it, as her trembling fingers fished out the little bit of cloth from her inside pocket. The otherworldly feel of it pulsed in her palm.
She said to give this to you. To Selena Sardothian, I mean. She didn't know they... You were the same. She said it was payment for... For a warm cloak offered in a cold dungeon.
She wasn't ashamed of the tears that fell. Not in honor of what that woman had done. Aelin studied the scrap of cloth in Elide's shaking palm.
I think she kept this... As a reminder of kindness,
Elide said hoarsely.
They broke her and hurt her, and she died alone in Morath. She died alone so I wouldn't, so they couldn't.
None of them spoke or moved. She couldn't tell if it made it worse, if the hand that Lorcan laid on her back made her cry harder. The words tumbled out of Elide's shaking mouth.
She said to remember your promise to punish them all, and said that you can unlock any door if you only have the key.
Aelin clamped her lips together and closed her eyes. A beautiful, dark-haired man now approached. He was perhaps a few years older than her. But carried himself so gracefully that she felt small and unmolded before him. His sapphire eyes fixed on Elide, clever and unruffled, and sad.
Caltaine Rompier saved your life. And gave you that?
He knew her. Had known her. Manon Blackbeak said in a faint, amused voice, Lady Elide Lochan of Peranth, meet Dorian Havilyard, King of Otterlin. The king lifted his brows at the witch.
Majesty,
she stammered, inclining her head. She should really get up, really stop lying on the ground like a worm. but the cloth and stone still lay in her hand. Aelin wiped her damp face on a sleeve, then straightened.
Do you know what it is you carry, Elide?
Yes, Majesty.
Turquoise eyes, haunted and weary, lifted to her own. Then slid to Lorcan.
Why didn't you take it?
The voice was hollow and hard. Elide suspected she'd be lucky if it was never used on her. Lorcan met her gaze without flinching.
It wasn't mine to take.
Aelin now glanced between them, seeing too much. And there was no warmth on the queen's face. But she said to Lorcan, "Thank you for bringing her to me." The others seemed to be trying not to look too shocked at the words. But Aelin turned to Manon. "I lay claim to her. Witch blood in her veins or no, she is Lady of Peranth, and she is mine." Gold eyes gleamed with the thrill of challenge. "And if I claim her for the Blackbeaks?"
"Blackbeaks? Or the Krokins?"
Aelin purred. Elide blinked.
"Manon and the Krokins. What was the wingleader doing here? Where was Abraxos?"
The witch said, "Careful, Majesty. With your power reduced to embers, you'll have to fight me the old-fashioned way again." The dangerous grin returned.
"You know, I've been hoping for round two."
"Ladies,"
the silver-haired prince said through clenched teeth. They both turned, giving Rowan Whitethorn horrifyingly innocent smiles. The Fey Prince, to his credit, only winced after they looked away again. Elide wished she could hide behind Lorcan, as both women fixed that near-feral attention on her again. Manon reached forward, tipping Elide's hand over, to where Aelin's waited.
"There you go. Over and done with," Manon said.
Aelin cringed slightly, but pocketed the cloth and the key inside. A shadow instantly lifted from Elide's heart, a whispering presence now silenced. Manon ordered,
"On your feet. We were in the middle of something."
She reached to pull Elide up, but Lorcan stepped in and did it himself. He didn't let go of Elide's arm, and she tried not to lean into his warmth. Tried not to make it seem like she hadn't just met her queen, her friend, her court, and somehow now found Lorcan to be the safest of them all. Manon smirked at Lorcan.
"Your claim on her, male, is at the very bottom of the list."
Iron teeth slid out, turning that beautiful face petrifying. Lorcan didn't let go. Manon crooned in that way that usually meant death.
"Don't touch her."
"You don't give me orders, witch,"
Lorcan said.
"And you have no say in what is between us."
Elide frowned at him.
"You're making it worse."
"We like to call it territorial male nonsense," Aelin confided. "Or territorial fey bastard works just as nicely." The fey prince coughed pointedly behind her. The queen looked over his shoulder, brows raised.
"Am I forgetting another term of endearment?"
The warrior prince's eyes glowed, even as his face remained set with predatory intent.
"I think you covered it."
Aelin winked at Lorcan.
"You hurt her, and I'll melt your bones," she merely said, and walked away.
Manon's ironclad smile grew, and she gave Lorcan a mocking incline of the head as she followed in the queen's wake. Adian looked Lorcan over and snorted.
"Aelin does whatever she wants, but I think she'd let me see how many of your bones I can break before she melts them. Then he, too, was walking toward the two females. One silver, one gold.